Nebraska, and one of the things we did a lot of out there was raise cattle. We had several head ourselves, and I really enjoyed working with the cattle. We had a problem out there, as it's getting worse, I understand now, is that with thieves. Thieves would misbrand the cattle or load them up in the trailer and haul them out of state in a different branding zone and sell the cattle. So one of the things that we had to go to out there about the time I was a child was a registered brand. Our registered brand was a bar over an LB, and it was on the left hip of the cow. And every rancher or farmer had his own brand. If a cow got over into our pasture, we knew whose cow it was by what the brand was. And if you bought another man's cow, then you had to have a brand release signed from him, and you had to keep records and papers of that, because if not, the man could claim his cow back. The Bible talks about branding. In fact, it uses the word almost exactly in one place in the Bible, and I'd like to have you turn to Galatians for just a moment. We're not using this necessarily as a text this evening, but and we're using it maybe a little different than this particular text. In Galatians, the last chapter of the book of Galatians, chapter 6, in verse 17, there's a word here that is technically the word brand in the Greek. Paul was closing off his letter to the Galatian brethren, and he said in verse 17, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." This word marks is literally the brand of our Lord Jesus. Paul, back in the second letter to the Corinthians, had talked about the physical marks that he had. He was whipped so many times. He was left for dead so many times. He was stoned so many times. He was at sea so many times. He says, "I have the brand of Christ." He says, "I carry that brand with me everywhere I go." I think it might be a little different for you and I, because we've not been physically abused in the sense that Paul was, or persecuted in the sense that Paul was. But I think that there are ways in which we can carry the mark as well. I think the first requirement in branding is to know the master. One of the things that you soon learn working around cattle, especially in the winter time when you had to feed them, and this was a long period of time in Nebraska because of the weather, but we put the hay in the back of the pickup and went through the pasture or field feeding that. And even if you went up the road along the side of the pasture past feeding time, those cows would follow that pickup up the road, and if you turned around and came back, they'd follow it back. And I think this is a good illustration of what Jesus wants us to do in regarding to the mark that's on us. He wants us to follow Him in every sense of the word. And I think He wants His brand on us. He wants it to affix on our being, on our very being, the brand of the Lord. One of the things that's interesting about branding a cattle, some of the people out there have stole cattle, and they would specifically steal cattle from certain people because they could fix the brand over. For instance, a bar LB could easily be made into a bar EB, or different things like that could be done. And so you had to be very careful. However, when a cow is missing and suspected stolen, and every cow went by a brand inspector, when you took it to the sale barn, when it went by this brand inspector, if he thought there was something funny with the brand, he could order the cow butchered and the cow skinned and turned inside out the brand, and he could tell if one part of the brand had been added later on. They sold the meat, and of course the money went to the rightful owner, and then the person that was guilty of fixing the brand, of course, that was selling the cow went to jail. I think it's important too that someday we're going to stand before the Lord and the brand's going to be turned inside out, so to speak, and the Lord is going to see us from the other side. The inside is what man looks from the outside. I'd like to look at some scriptures this evening. One of them that I think Paul shared with us back in Galatians again, in the second chapter this time in the book of Galatians, if you turn to there. Most of you may know this verse by heart in Galatians 2:20. Paul says this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I think it's interesting here that Paul says, "I've really died when I accepted Jesus as my Savior." He says, I have died to Christ. I'm no longer living in any sense of the word. And Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says a similar situation, starting in relationship to verse 11. He says, "Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." People in the world glory about great things that have been accomplished by them. Maybe they have been an architect for a large building, or maybe they have put together a new idea that has caused maybe a whole change about in a different realm, or maybe a way of doing things at the factory. But he says, here he says, "I don't glory in any of that at all." He says, "I glory in the Lord." Paul said this in Philippians. He was strong of saying it in Philippians. He said, "I don't desire anything except that I be in the resurrection there," Paul said in Philippians again. He is clear that he wanted God and only God in his life. I think it's kind of interesting. What then is our branding iron, so to speak? I can remember making up the branding iron. We had two of them. We had one for the young calves that we branded, and it was smaller in size. Maybe the L and the B were only about that tall. And when we had one for the older ones, and it was several inches taller, because as the calf grew, the brand grew. And I think sometimes as we grow in Christ, the brand is more visible for those around to see it. I think, though, that the branding iron is the Word of God. I'd like to have you turn, and you may know this text too. It's an old familiar one. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I think that as God's word makes an impression upon us, I think as some of these younger boys up here tonight playing and causing us to enjoy the music and so forth, and I think we need to instill in them the same thing that Moses was told to instill in the young people in his day back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're very familiar with Deuteronomy 6:4. We memorized it last Sunday. But in that same verse, I want to read several verses after it. He says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words have I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." After church today, somebody said that they were going to take the sermon notes from the bulletin and give them to someone for an example for reading. I hope others will do that. I hope we will do it in our homes with our children. I think it's very important to engrave upon the minds of the young people while they are young the importance of God's word. I think it's very important to place upon these children the importance of God's Word as a guiding light as early as possible, Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I've heard several of you quote this many times, and I think it's important that we not only quote it, but that we make it sure in our family, that our young people grow up with the important value of knowing that God's word, as the Bible and as a collection of inspiration from God, is the guiding place and part of our lives. I think it's important to do this. Jesus told some people in Matthew chapter 22, 29, he says, "They err that do not know, because they do not know the scriptures." I think this is important that we raise this question in our lives and in our children's lives and in anybody else's life that we can as well. The Bible gives us the rule to play the game of life. And the game of life is an important one because the outcome depends upon whether we will serve God through eternity or whether we will be destroyed in the lake of fire. The Bible is an influence that God's word does all the cleansing. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read in verse 26 these words. He's talking here to husbands, and he's saying in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, starting with verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water and by the word." There's two things that cleanse. The baptism, by the washing of the water. Here, not literal washing, but the cleansing of obedience. And secondly, the word of God as it cleansed. It cleansed the mind, it cleansed the heart, it cleansed the being for the Lord. Have you ever, every mother here that has a boy has had this happen to him, so it'll be something you're familiar with. Ever send your little boy in to wash his hands? Never used any soap? Every mother here knows all about soap. Sometimes I think we need to make sure that each one of us get that soap, that cleansing agent, to do the cleaning, to do the important work there that needs to be done in every one of our lives. The Bible says in the 15th chapter of John, I believe it is, I don't have the text down right here handy, is that the Word of God is like, as God working with it, is the pruner of the branches. And every one of our lives need to be pruned, just as you've got an apple tree in your, or a peach tree in your yard. You have to prune it every year, don't you? If you don't, pretty soon that the fruit's no good at all. And so every one of us have to, from time to time, prune our lives, saw off branches, whatever, so that the tree does better. And I think that's what the Word of God helps us to do, to see what needs to be pruned off in our lives, what needs to be cleansed. It was interesting here that the Jews in Jesus' day, in John chapter 5 and 39 and 40, I go back to 38, so we'll start with verse 38. And Jesus speaking here, "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." The Jews here had missed the Messiah. They had missed Christ. They'd missed the main part of the Scripture. He says, the Scripture's intent was to tell about me, the Messiah. He says, you search them and you've missed me. And he says, you must find me so that you can have life in these Scriptures. The Bible is there to study, but the ultimate is to live up to the Lord, to find him, and to live up to the standards that he has placed down, as we had mentioned this morning. I think it's important, too, that every individual in the Bible, and I think this is an important message here, we look back at some of the great men of the Bible. Now, it doesn't tell us all about all the bad things they did or all the good things they did. We take the man Moses. He lived 120 years, divided equally in three sections of 40 years. This man had some problems in his life. He was a murderer, and he disobeyed a specific command of the Lord toward the end of his life. And yet, this man was a mighty man. He led all of the children of the Lord through some perilous, taxing times. Can you imagine taking over 1 million people out of a country and getting to a river and then say, why did you bring us here to our death? We were better off back in those slime pits back there. At least we had life and something to eat. Moses could have hit the rock then if he'd wanted to, I guess. And yet, he came through that because of massive amount of faith. Now, this has never been done before, even with Moses, or hasn't been done again, I guess, is the parting of a sea and going across on dry land, not in mud, on dry land through a marshy area besides the river itself. I think sometimes we neglect to see how great a faith this man Moses had. Paul, in writing to a young minister, Timothy, it's interesting that he made mention of his mother and his grandmother. I guess of all the people he could have made mention of, Paul says he specifically made mention of these two women who were a fantastic influence, no doubt, upon the young Timothy's life, maybe around 20, 22 at the most. It's interesting, the individuals influence our lives. Maybe you will influence one of your grandchildren for the Lord if time goes on. Maybe one of your children will have an occupation to serve in the ministry or something to that effect. Serve in a teaching capacity. By the way, we're in bad need of teachers, we understand. All of this comes down to a couple important issues. Is there's really a lot of time in life. I think everybody needs to examine his life very thoroughly. I know how you can do that, by the way. Hospital bed is a good place to do it. One of the things that I think that I realized in the hospital is not a whole lot of the things what we do in our life really make a lot of difference. Not a whole lot of things that we do in our life make a lot of difference. But there are a few things that I think are very important in our lives. And one of them is our, obviously, our relationship with our family and our relationship with our family with God. And this is one of the things that I think is so strong, not only in the scriptures, but in my mind, as we look at some of the things that are important in God's eyes. In the book of John, in the epistle of John, in 1 John chapter 5, he talks about some things here that I think refer to something of eternal value, overcoming everything in the spiritual sense. I just want to read the first five verses with emphasis on verse 3. He says this, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." And this is the one I want to stress. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." His commandments are not grievous. "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" In the book of John on Wednesday night, tells us teaching it, and it's important to note that the Gospel of John has one mission, to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He's the Messiah. He continued that same message in His epistles. He wants us to know Jesus Christ, who He is, and to acclaim a personal relationship with Him by obedience of His commands and by overcoming the world through our faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that above all things is the thing that should be counted highest in this life. And we have trials. Paul had trials. Moses had trials. And I'm sure when Timothy grew up and began his ministry, Timothy had trials. John obviously had trials. He was banished from his country for his faith. He was one of the only apostles that probably did not die a martyr's death. But he was persecuted, and therefore it's important to recognize that. One of the things I think that we have to acknowledge as so important is that we need to overcome this world. We need to be victorious in every aspect of our lives with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. When we come to the end of this age, and by the looks of the Middle East, maybe it won't be so far, although we cannot tell exactly how close or how far it is, I think the one thing that's going to matter is our relationship with our family, our church family, and our relationship with God and His Son, Jesus. And I pray that we all might overcome, and when we stand before the judge, have the brand of Christ upon us.